A Firm Place to Stand, a Superman Shazam fanfiction written by C. Delphiki and read by Lemon Avocado. This fanfiction is rated for general audiences, and no archive warnings apply. Summary. Clark hasn't known Billy Batson for long, but he does know that Billy is a 10-year-old homeless child who somehow has been burdened with the powers of the gods. There are so many things wrong with that, but not much Clark could do about it. Except offer Billy a safe place to live and the guidance of an adult who understands. For some reason, Billy says no thanks. Who knew it would be so difficult to convince a kid to stop living on the streets? Or, the Clark adopts Billy AU I've been wanting to write for years. The click of Clark's dress shoes against the concrete steps reverberated off the crumbling walls around him. Plaster dust littered the platform between floors, and Clark need not wonder how such a building was condemned. The sign and yellow caution tape declaring as much lay forgotten and ignored just inside the broken front door two floors below him. How many people lived in this building, Clark did not know. He could hear at least four people inside at the moment. A couple on the first floor, currently both fighting. A drunken man passed out in the stairwell a floor above. A young child on the top floor, reading quietly. Breathing steadily. A mere 10-year-old living alone in a condemned apartment building. Click. Click. With each step, something akin to dread pooled in the pit of Clark's stomach. He'd known Billy Batson was homeless. Intellectually, he knew what that entailed when he bought the boy breakfast so many times while doing his research for his hit piece on the social services of Fawcett City. Knowing and seeing were two very different things. Click. Click. Somehow, it hadn't fully hit him what being homeless meant for a 10-year-old child. It had taken Bruce, of all people, sitting across from him at the diner. Their diner, where they met for breakfast once a week. Listening intently as Clark shared his recent adventures in Fawcett City, fighting a 5,000-year-old villain alongside a brand-new 10-year-old superhero, the very kid he'd interviewed for his article. Clark still didn't understand how Billy had received powers. Why a 10-year-old was suddenly thrust into such a horrible position of responsibility, when he already had far too many responsibilities for a person of his age. Billy should never have been burdened with such responsibilities. He was just a little boy. "He's homeless," Bruce had asked, with a slight pause and the otherwise smooth motion of taking his fork to his mouth. "Yeah, technically," Clark had replied. Though he understood Billy still had a roof over his head, clothes on his back, food in his belly, and was still attending school, supposedly. So technically, he had a home. It just wasn't a normal means of housing. "You're going to do something about that, correct?" had been Bruce's next words. "Yeah," he'd replied instantly. "Of course." He'd lied. He hadn't had any plans thought through, except maybe the plan to keep an eye on Captain Marvel. Perhaps invite him to the Justice League, make sure he knew Superman was in his corner and he could always reach out to him for help. Clark knew what it was like, being young and scared with incredible powers no one else around him had. He did not know what it was like to have no one in his corner while he was fighting out those powers. Kids weren't supposed to have no one. The more Clark thought about it, the more he realized Bruce was right. He had to do something. It was unlikely Clark wouldn't have come to that conclusion on his own, but Bruce's encouragement certainly didn't hurt. "Do something about it," he'd said. "Or I will." Clark swallowed. He couldn't mess this up, he thought, as he carefully stepped over the sleeping drunkard on the fourth floor, sprawled across the stairs. How often did Billy have to step over this man? How safe was Billy in this environment, in this building? Was Clark even capable of helping this child? Bruce had money. Bruce had power. Bruce had experience with children. He'd been raising Dick Grayson for 4 years at this point. Bruce didn't have superpowers, he had to remind himself. Bruce didn't know what it was like being 10 and scared and trying to figure out his new powers. Clark had Ma and Pa as a kid, and they were wonderful, but they didn't understand. He didn't know what it was like knowing he could break the hand of a friend during an arm wrestle, crack the ribs of a classmate with a simple pass of the football. Billy had no one, not even normal parents who loved him despite his incredible powers. Clark might not understand what it was like being a normal child 1 second, then a seemingly grown man with all the powers of the gods the next, but if Ma and Pa had taught Clark anything, it was that he didn't have to understand. He just had to be there. Clark finished his climb up all five flights of the building to the top floor of the abandoned, condemned building, where he could hear Billy sitting on a bare mattress, talking softly to himself as he read through a comic book. He stilled himself as he walked down the hall towards Billy's door, the last on the right, in the back corner of the building. There was no lock on the door, his brain helpfully observed when he paused outside Billy's door. No lock. No knob. Nothing keeping this child safe from the dangers outside his squat. Nothing. Except, maybe, his newfound superpowers. What had he done to protect himself before? What did he do now when he was in his natural form? Captain Marvel was an avatar, but he couldn't call upon his powers in his mortal form. With a soft sigh, Clark rapped on the door and was not at all surprised when the door creaked open with a knock. Billy, for his part, squeaked on the other side of the door before he perked up and asked, who is it? Clark poked his head inside, around the door, and said, It's just me, son. Do you have a minute? Mr. Kent, Billy exclaimed, jumping to his feet. He looked around and said hastily, Sorry for the mess, as he grabbed his shoes from where they'd clearly been kicked off his feet into the middle of the floor. But other than that, there was no mess. Well, the whole apartment was filthy, covered in dirt and dust, but that was likely because there was a missing panel of glass in the window and a giant hole in the ceiling over in the far corner. As far as possessions went, Billy didn't have much. His bare mattress had a blanket on it, neatly folded next to the bare pillow. In the corner next to the mattress was what looked to be a space heater, but with no electricity in the building that Clark could hear, it was likely useless. What are you doing here? Billy asked, after a moment had passed and Clark had done nothing but look around. Clark started, but stopped. He hadn't rehearsed this at all. Is this where you actually live? He heard himself ask. He looked around again. It was a studio apartment with a kitchenette off to the side. A quick scan of the cupboards found them empty, save for half a bag of chips. There was water in the pipes, which meant the bathroom likely worked, but there was no telling if the water was potable. Whether it was didn't matter. This was no place for a child. Do something about it, Bruce's words had been. If the Fawcett City Social Services didn't care, someone had to. And Clark most certainly did. Clark sighed and stepped further into the apartment, shutting the door behind him. I haven't been entirely honest with you, Billy, he said. Billy looked up at him with suspicion. You aren't from social services, are you? He asked flatly, the baby fat on his cheeks making the purse of his lips and the slight furrow of his brow something closer to cute than threatening. He was just a child. A child, worried that the man standing in front of him was secretly part of the organization that had failed him so miserably. Clark had already heard all about why Billy wasn't with his foster home. His group home. Mistreatment, abuse. He was likely better off fending for himself, if living there was his only other option. No, Clark said with a shake of his head. He wasn't quite sure how to tell Billy, so he reached up and loosened his tie, unbuttoned his shirt. Billy's face went from suspicion to awe as Clark revealed the red and yellow shield underneath. He sat back down on the edge of his mattress and mouthed the word, Wow. May I sit? Clark asked, motioning toward the bed. Billy nodded, so Clark carefully took a seat next to Billy, who was still looking at him with absolute awe. "Were you Superman the whole time?" he asked. Clark chuckled. He pulled his knees up so he could rest his arms on them as he asked, "Were you Captain Marvel the whole time?" "No," Billy said, absolutely lighting up. Clark wasn't sure if Billy knew Superman had known, but it was good to see such enthusiasm about his powers. When Black Adam attacked us in the diner, I wasn't yet, he explained. But then I was. That's what Clark had gathered. So the powers are new, he asked, just for confirmation. Billy nodded excitedly, though Clark could tell his feelings about it were far deeper than simple excitement. Excitement was there, sure, but so was much more. Billy clearly understood exactly what level of responsibility he'd been entrusted. Or that had been forced on him. Who chose a 10-year-old to be their successor? I know what that feels like, Clark said. Developing powers at a young age, rather unexpectedly. Really? Billy asked with wide eyes. Clark nodded, turning to look down at his hands. I'd always had... He started, but paused and shook his head. Restarted. He'd never talked about this with... anyone. I'd always been stronger than other children. Always been different, but the majority of my powers? I developed them when I was about your age, maybe a little older. Most kids going through puberty had to deal with sudden growth spurts. I had to deal with sudden freeze breath or heat vision. Wow, Billy whispered. He sat up straighter and said, My powers aren't like that. Like this. He gestured to himself. I'm still weak and useless. You most certainly aren't useless or weak, Clark replied instantly. When Billy gave him a skeptical look, Clark added, It takes a lot of strength to live like this, to survive all this, and be as upbeat and good as you are. Aw, shucks, Mr. Kent, Billy said, and Clark hadn't fully realized before how much of a facade Billy put on. You're a great kid, Clark reiterated, and you don't deserve all this. He gestured to the apartment around him, then pulled out his notebook from his jacket pocket to jot down his address. I have an extra bedroom, you know, Clark said as he ripped the page out and held it to Billy. You're welcome to crash there whenever you want. It's not much, but it's safe and warm. And clean, he didn't add. Billy gave him a skeptical look, but slowly took the paper from his hands as he asked, In Metropolis? You can fly, right? Captain Marvel can, Billy said, staring down at the paper. Clark nodded. I got here as Superman. Billy grinned for half a second, lopsided and bright, before he looked back at the note. I don't know, he said, the delight on his face fading fast. There's a cold snap coming, Clark said. It was October, and the weather was changing fast. There was no way this apartment was warm. Just think about it, okay? I know you've had some bad experiences with foster parents. I get that. But I'm not a foster parent. I'm not a parent at all. He paused and tried to word it. How did Bruce always put it? He'd never called Dick Grayson his kid. I'd be more like, your roommate, yeah? A friend, giving you a safe place to crash. I'm barely home anyway, so I won't be overbearing or anything either. I'll think about it, Billy finally said. Clark could work with that. He hadn't really thought he'd be convincing Billy to come home with him that day. Which reminded him. Here, he said, pulling a communicator out of his pocket and holding it out to Billy. This is for you. If you have any questions about anything, or need help with something, anything, give me a call. Billy's eyes were wide again as he gingerly took the comm out of Clark's hands. Is this a Justice League communicator? He asked in awe. How Billy could even tell was beyond Clark. Bruce had specifically designed them to be inconspicuous. If one of them was in a car accident and the comm was found in their pocket, it just looked like any old pager. Sure, weird to see in this day and age, but not particularly extinct, either. Yeah, Clark said with a nod. It's been modified so it can only send out distress calls or contact me. Batman set it up. It could also be tracked, which Clark knew was more for Bruce than it was for Clark. Clark didn't need a device to keep track of Billy anywhere on Earth. Batman set up a communicator for me? Billy asked in awe again. Batman knows about me? He did, he does, Clark said, smiling gently. It was good to see Billy was still a child, was still capable of being a child with childlike wonder, despite everything he'd been through and all the responsibility he'd been leveled. Batman has a soft spot for kid heroes. Wow, Billy breathed, holding the comm in his hands delicately as he just stared at it. Superman, Clark heard, from somewhere deep in Metropolis. He perked up and focused his eyes out toward the woman, surrounded by a gang of men. I have to go, he said as he quickly stood. Someone needs me. But, he paused and motioned down at the paper, sitting next to Billy on the bed. I'm serious. You're always welcome. For any reason or no reason at all, my door is open to you. Thanks, Superman, Billy said, clutching the comm in his hands. Clark nodded, and the woman shouting out for him again, this time more desperately, he zipped off. He really hoped Billy took him up on the offer. Billy didn't take him up on the offer for a full month. Bruce was pissed about it. Clark had heard Bruce's opinion every single week since his meeting with Billy in his apartment, but Billy was fine. Clark had been watching. And no, it wasn't nearly as creepy as it sounded. He found himself in Fawcett City several times a week, spending his lunch break with Billy at the boys' favorite diner. Clark just wanted to make sure Billy was getting enough food. make sure he was physically okay, and maybe form more of a friendship with him so he'd be more comfortable taking Clark up on his offer. Clark decided against lecturing the boy about skipping school so much, one issue at a time. The issue Clark wanted to deal with first was getting Billy off the street. He'd been beat up several times in the weeks Clark started spending time with him. "Who did that to you?" he'd asked, pointing at finger bruises around Billy's wrist, or a bruise on his cheek, or on the side of his face. "Aw, just some bullies," was how Billy always responded. "I have it handled." All Clark could do was resolve to keep more of an eye out for him, and intervene if necessary. But finally, finally, the night a blizzard was set to hit the entire eastern U.S. in mid-November, Clark heard tapping on his window. He looked up away from the book he'd been reading and saw Billy Batson standing out there on his fire escape, in just his red sweatshirt and jeans, his arms wrapped tightly around himself. Clark jumped to his feet and zipped over to the window, quickly unlatching it so he could swing it open. Billy stepped back out of its way as he said, "Hi, Mr. Kent. I hope I'm not interrupting." "Of course you aren't. Come in," Clark said, helping Billy through the window by his arm. He looked half frozen. His nose and cheeks were rosy red, while the rest of him looked pale white. "It is cold," Billy said, once Clark had let go of him and shut the window again. "The wind was brutal coming in through my window." "I can imagine," Clark said. He zipped over to his linen closet for his thickest, warmest throw, and wrapped it around Billy's shoulders before guiding him over to the couch. "I wish you'd come sooner. Let me get you something warm to drink." "Thanks, Mr. Kent." Clark poured some milk into a mug and stuck it in the microwave as he tried to gather his thoughts. Billy was still shivering across the open concept apartment, and it wasn't even the coldest night of the year thus yet. Where was Billy's coat? Clark knew he had one. He'd seen a coat. Clark dug through his pantry for the hot chocolate packets he knew were back in there somewhere. He had to remove 3 boxes of soup mixes and a can of breadcrumbs, but he finally found a box with 1 hot chocolate mix left. The mug spun inside the microwave as Clark thrummed his fingers against the countertop. He could have used his heat vision, he thought idly as the cup continued to spin. Ma always said things tasted better made the old-fashioned way, though Clark couldn't quite argue using a microwave and instant cocoa packet was the old-fashioned way. So he hit the open button and finished heating the milk himself. Quickly, he dumped the powder in the mug and mixed it in with a spoon. "Here you are, son," he said after he walked the mug over to Billy and held it out to him. Billy eagerly took it, wrapping his hands around the mug as he held his face right over the heat radiating off the top. "Thanks, Mr. Kent." "Of course," Clark said as he took a seat in his armchair, perpendicular to the couch. He watched Billy for a moment, slowly sipping at the hot chocolate, then asked, "So, where is your coat?" "Oh," Billy said, ducking his head a little into the blanket still around his shoulders, each word sounding quieter and smaller than the last. It got stolen." All Clark could do was sigh. No 10-year-old child should have to deal with that. A coat in winter was a requirement, not a privilege. Having it stolen... "I'm sorry," Billy said quickly as he straightened in his posture. "There were 4 of them, and they're teenagers and way bigger than me, and I couldn't change to Captain Marvel right in front of them. And attacking them as Captain Marvel would be mean, even though they're being mean first, and... "Billy," Clark said, cutting him off before he could devolve too far into his frantic explanation. "It's all right. It's not your fault. You're right. You did the right thing by being the bigger person." The tension in Billy's shoulders released, and his whole body deflated like a balloon. Clark frowned and said, "But you shouldn't have to put up with bullies like that. When did this happen?" "Yesterday," he replied. "Right. Of course it had." So Billy had spent a full 24 hours without a coat, when it had been below freezing the entire time. "I wish you had told me sooner," Clark said. "We can get you a new one tomorrow. And maybe some other things too, like a hat, some gloves, and a pair of boots. Billy's canvas sneakers looked like they'd seen better days. And besides, canvas shoes were nowhere near warm waterproof enough for sledging through snow." "Oh, you don't have to," Billy started, but Clark cut him right off. "I will not take no thank you as an answer," he said sternly. "You need a coat for winter." And as far as Clark was concerned, that was the end of that conversation. Somehow, Billy deflated further, but he took another sip of his drink. The color in his face had already started to even back out. "Have you had dinner yet?" Clark asked, looking down at his watch. It was 8 p.m., but Clark really wasn't sure how consistently, Billy ate. Billy hesitated, but finally shook his head. I had a late lunch, he said after a beat, like it was an excuse. I got a pizza in the freezer, Clark said, hopping to his feet. Let me put it in the oven. He was choosing to ignore the late lunch comment. Whether that was true, Clark wasn't sure, but baby steps. Billy came to him. That was a good first step. Billy ate 4 whole pieces of pizza, half the pizza, just furthering Clark's suspicions that he hadn't had a late lunch like he claimed. Then again, every time Clark fed him, he seemed to eat far too much for his size, almost like he was eating as much food as he could when it was available. "Well, let me show you around," Clark said after he cleaned up for dinner. There was no point in dwelling on things. Billy was there. He was okay for the moment. With a nod, Billy jumped to his feet and easily followed Clark around his apartment. It really wasn't much, his apartment. Open concept, with the dining area, kitchen, and living room all being one room. Then 2 bedrooms, opposite the kitchen, with 1 bathroom. Small, but it had always been enough for him. The extra room he used as a guest room, for the rare occasions he had people visiting, or when his parents visited, to be specific. But ever since he'd offered the bed to Billy, he'd been keeping it cleaner. He ran a vacuum over the carpet every once in a while and made sure the linens were fresh enough just in case. He didn't want the room to be in bad shape for Billy. Not that Billy would likely notice, considering where he normally spent his nights. Billy was quiet during the tour, as Clark easily showed Billy where the food was, extra blankets, and bathroom. He pulled Billy out an extra toothbrush and toothpaste from the pile of them he'd been accumulating from his obligatory dentist visits, and showed him where to get towels out at so he could take a shower. The whole time, Billy stayed pretty silent. He nodded along and said, "Thanks, Mr. Kent," as he so often did. It was pretty unusual for Billy to be so quiet, but Clark chalked it up to him being tired. Or, perhaps, nervous. Clark couldn't help but hearing Billy's elevated heart rate. Although Clark wasn't sure what Billy had to be nervous about, he seemed like a fairly trusting kid, despite everything he'd been through. Maybe that was all an act? "This is the guest room," he said, shaking himself off at the thought. He pushed open the door and flipped on the lights. "It's yours now. There's spare linens in the closet over there. Help yourself if you want another pillow or blanket or something." Billy nodded, his eyes a little wide as he took in the room. It was fairly small, just big enough really for the queen bed centered against one wall, and a dresser opposite it, but it was large enough, Clark hoped. "There's also some extra clothing in here," Clark said, opening up one of the drawers of the dresser. Most of them were empty, but he'd been slowly going through his clothes, pulling out things that just didn't fit right anymore to donate, and he'd let them accumulate in a drawer. "I know it's probably all way too big, but you might be able to find something to sleep in." "Thanks, Mr. Kent," Billy said again. "Really, I appreciate it." "Of course," Clark said, setting a hand in his hair to ruffle it. "I'll leave you to it." With a slight smile, Billy pulled his head away from Clark's hands and entered the room fully. The first thing he did was start digging through the clothes, so Clark took his leave and headed back towards his couch. The evening went on from there. Billy did take a shower, a long shower, and changed into a t-shirt he'd found, which hung off him like a giant nightgown. It was cute. Clark had to try very hard not to say that, because when Billy came out wearing it, his cheeks were a slight pink and accompanied by an anxious smile. "How was the water?" Clark asked as he turned his attention back down to the book he'd been working on. Lois insisted he needed to have it read before they interviewed the senator who wrote it on Friday. "Good. Warm," Billy reported, balling his dirty clothes up in his arms more and hugging them close. "I'm glad." Warm water was probably something his apartment didn't have. Silence stretched for a moment while Billy's heart rate started to pick up again. He kind of wished he knew what to do with kids. What did Bruce normally do with Dick? Outside training him to be a superhero. How had he made Dick comfortable even being in his house? "Do you want to watch a movie or something?" he asked. He had Hulu. There was probably kid-appropriate movies on there, right? What counted as appropriate for a child with superpowers that had taken on the responsibility of protecting a whole city? At the age of 10. Maybe he should ask Bruce that, too. Billy thought about it for several seconds as he continued to toy with his grip on his dirty clothes, but he finally took in breath and said, "No thanks. I think I'm just going to go to bed, Mr. Kent." "All right," Clark said gently. "You let me know if you need anything. I'll probably be in and out later tonight dealing with emergencies, but I'll have my phone on me.
I'll put the number on the fridge.
I'll be okay, Mr. Kent, Billy said as he sidestepped his way into the guest room.
Clark smiled.
He was sure Billy would be fine.
He was also equally sure if Billy wasn't, Clark would not be hearing from him.
But that was fine. Clark could keep an ear on him.
Good night, son, he said, as he turned back to his book.
Sleep well.
Billy hesitated at the threshold to his room, but mumbled out a quiet, good night, before he stepped inside and shut the door.
Clark spent the next several hours listening to Billy toss and turn as he tried to formulate a plan for putting Billy at ease. He was honestly at a total loss.
Clark's night ended up being busy. The blizzard dumped 2 feet of snow on Metropolis, even though the forecast had only predicted 15 inches, so much of the night was spent helping with cleaning snow and making paths for emergency services. Fawcett City, on the other hand, didn't get nearly as much snow as Metropolis. They just had brutally cold temperatures, causing everyone to go inside and stay there, meaning Billy was able to spend the entire night asleep without having to worry about doing any Captain Marvel business. Clark still checked in on him often, turning his ear to the apartment to see if Billy was still asleep. Thankfully, he always was. Once he'd finally gotten asleep, he stayed that way, and Clark was glad he'd found some peace.
Heaven knew the kid deserved it.
It was nearly 9 a.m. when Clark's work finally lulled, and he was able to head on home for the day. And when he slipped through his fire escape window, Billy was just barely stirring.
"Morning, Billy," Clark said cheerfully when Billy opened his door a minute later and glanced over at him. Clark had already zipped out of his uniform and was sporting a pair of sweats. He still needed a shower before he could get dressed, and decide if he was going into the office at all. Billy blinked at him and simply stared for a solid few seconds before Clark could see his thoughts actually engage as he finished waking up. He smiled half-heartedly and mumbled, "Good morning," back at him, before shuffling over to the bathroom.
So Billy was not a morning person.
Good to know.
Maybe getting food into him would help with that. Clark went about making a good, hearty breakfast, the way his ma taught him. She had always been a fan of big breakfast in the morning to help start the day off. It had been a staple for him as a kid. Now he was lucky to eat a bowl of cereal in the morning. Usually he grabbed a granola bar or maybe a banana on his way out the door. Weekends were the only time he ever bothered breaking out the skillet and frying up an egg. But that morning he made all the stops, right down to the hoe cakes Ma always liked to make. They were easier than biscuits and just as easy to heat up again for lunch. Clark had yet to succeed in making biscuits. Most likely he needed Ma to walk him through it one day when he was back home. No matter what he did, they never turned out like hers. Hoe cakes, on the other hand, were hard to mess up, and were the perfect side to the eggs and bacon. Billy moved back to his room at some point while Clark was cooking and holed himself in there for quite a while before finally emerging again, fully dressed in the same sweatshirt and jeans from yesterday, just as Clark was spooning out the last 2 cakes to fry up.
"Awake now?" Clark asked, as he placed his batter bowl in the sink.
"Yeah," Billy replied, his slight smile shining through his voice. He walked across the apartment to the kitchen and leaned against the island behind Clark as he added, "Thanks for letting me stay here." Clark offered a gentle smile as he said, "That room is yours. You're always welcome here." And Billy absolutely did not have to thank him so often. Though Clark couldn't complain about how polite Billy was.
"Breakfast will be done in a minute," Clark added. The bacon was done and the hoe cakes nearly there. All that was left was the eggs, and they'd fry up fast once he cracked them.
"Anything I can do to help?" Billy asked, rocking back on his heels as he looked around.
"I think I've got everything handled," Clark said, but paused to think a second. He really did have everything under control, but surely Billy could help with something.
"You could get out a couple glasses and pour the drinks, though, if you want something to do." When Clark was a kid, he always felt useless unless he was helping with something. Billy must feel the same, because he immediately hopped to it, grabbing 2 glasses from the cabinet Clark pointed out.
"What do you want?" he asked, as he opened the fridge to look inside.
"Orange juice, please," Clark said. "Help yourself to whatever you want in there." He paused and actually thought about what he had in the fridge, and had to amend, well, other than the wine.
Should he keep it that accessible? Or should he not care?
Could alcohol even affect Billy? It didn't affect Clark one bit.
Billy grinned a shit-eating grin, but said, "Aw, shucks, Mr. Kent, I wouldn't touch it."
Clark snorted and flipped the cakes over one last time to make sure they were done.
"That's there for Lois," he explained, as he added the cakes to the plate of done ones. "She knows I don't really drink, so if it went missing, she'd use her interrogation skills on me." And Clark did not want to have to explain where the wine had even gone.
How did one explain the 10-year-old staying with him drank it? But it was possibly fine, because he had magic powers?
That didn't feel like an adequate excuse to Clark. So no alcohol for Billy.
Who's Lois? Billy asked. He picked out milk for himself, apparently, and started pouring himself a glass even as he raised his eyebrows at Clark.
She's my partner. We write stories together for the Daily Planet. He motioned for the fridge with his elbow and added, If you want to make that chocolate, I have syrup in the fridge and the door. Strawberry syrup, too.
Lois constantly mocked him for that, but people who said they didn't prefer milk-flavored were lying.
Thanks, Mr. Kent, Billy said happily as he quickly put the jug back and grabbed the strawberry syrup from the door.
Clark smiled as he cracked a few eggs from the basket on the counter straight into the pan. He far preferred farm-fresh eggs rather than the thin-shelled monstrosities available at the grocery store. He was lucky travel was easy enough to get out to farmland to purchase them. One day he'd have a farm of his own.
Every time he'd seen Billy order eggs at the diner, he always asked for them scrambled, so Clark scrambled the eggs up quickly.
All right, he said, as he divided the eggs between two plates that already had bacon and cakes on them.
Breakfast is served.
He put a fork on each plate, then walked over to the table and sat one down in front of Billy as he took a seat himself.
Wow, Billy said, as he grabbed his fork and looked at the massive helping of food Clark had given him.
Thanks so much, Mr. Kent.
Clark smiled, but didn't respond to the comment as they both dug into the food.
Billy, as he always did, absolutely scarfed down his food, even though Clark had given him an adult-sized portion. Someday, Clark would find out how much food was too much for Billy. He had a bad feeling that there wasn't a limit, presently. What with Billy not having a steady source of food, currently... Clark cleared his throat and offered Billy another smile when he looked up.
I think the shops are open today. I spent the night helping the city move snow so the city could remain open, but we can always go somewhere else to go shopping if they aren't. There were plenty of cities in the country that didn't get over 2 feet of snow overnight.
You really don't, Billy started, but promptly snapped his mouth shut when Clark gave him a look. Because, again, he wasn't accepting arguments on this one.
Once you're done eating, why don't you go get ready, Clark added. He still had a few bites of his food left, but Billy had already practically wiped his plate clean, getting every last bit of even the syrup up.
Billy did, while Clark walked to the dishes at his top speed and put everything away. Once Billy was done brushing his teeth in the bathroom, he went ahead and got himself a quick shower too so he could get dressed for the day. In all, both of them were ready to go within 5 minutes, though what Billy considered ready was far from what Clark considered ready.
It's 10 degrees outside, he said, looking at Billy in just his sweatshirt and threadbare jeans.
You're going to freeze to death in that.
Billy looked down at himself and then back up to Clark as if saying, And?
Because, right, that was the whole reason they were even going out. Luckily, Clark had an abundance of jackets, so he went to his closet and fished out a nice thermal pullover. He always found to be quite warm.
This is very warm for how thin it is, he explained as he handed it to Billy. Hopefully it helps.
Anything thicker and it would be difficult for Billy to do anything in it, since the sleeves would be impossible to roll up. But anything thinner and Clark was concerned Billy would be none the warmer.
Mr. Kent, Billy said, through a bout of laughter, this will swallow me whole.
With a nod, Clark said, And keep you warm, too.
Billy rolled his eyes, but did slip the pullover on over his head. Clark knelt down and helped him roll the sleeves up so at least his hands were free.
How's it feel? He asked, once he got the second sleeve situated.
It's warm, Billy said, with a shrug.
Good, Clark stood, and went back to his closet to rifle through his basket of hats and gloves. He found a set he'd never worn since they were too small for him. Honestly, he had no idea why he even kept the set, other than the fact that they were a gift from Lois. He'd always felt bad he couldn't wear them. Maybe Billy could, now.
The hat was, of course, too big, but once Clark folded the brim up a couple times, it didn't look terrible. At least it covered his ears some.
There, how's that? Clark asked. The exasperated huff Billy let out was possibly answer enough, but Clark smiled patiently until Billy responded.
It's good. Thank you, Mr. Kent.
Clark would get Billy used to being taken care of. Hopefully.
He was a kid. Kids deserve to be taken care of.
Come on, he said, placing a hand on Billy's back and guiding him to the door.
I'm sorry I don't have a car, so we'll have to walk, but there's shopping only a couple blocks from here.
Billy skipped a few steps down the hall while Clark locked up his door and said, I don't mind walking. And Clark supposed he wouldn't. He likely hadn't had a ride anywhere in a long time. Fawcett City's subway system wasn't exactly used anymore. So they walked.
It was only a couple blocks, but Clark felt bad when Billy's nose immediately turned red upon getting outside. Billy wrapped his arms tightly around himself, too, but Clark hadn't seen him shiver yet, so it was probably okay.
Plus, very, very soon he'd have an actual coat. They walked into a children's clothing store first, and Clark was pleased to see a large selection of winter gear right up front. "Do you like any of these?" Clark asked as he motioned for Billy to come take a look. Billy looked half-heartedly until he found a price tag on a sleeve. "These are so expensive," he mumbled, making a face at the coat. Clark stepped behind Billy and looked down at the tag. $70. That was actually quite reasonable for a winter coat, wasn't it? He was pretty sure he'd spent well over $200 on coats before. "It's fine," Clark said as he felt the material along with the sleeve of the coat. "These are good coats, too. They weren't good enough for much below zero, probably, but they'd be good enough for the winters Metropolis got. Or Fawcett City," he supposed. Billy shook his head, dropping the sleeve of the coat and stepping back. "Mr. Kent, these are way too expensive. I can't..." "You need a coat, Billy," Clark interrupted. Billy was getting a coat. "We could get one at a thrift store or something," Billy shot back. "They're a lot more affordable there." "Billy," Clark sighed, placing a hand on Billy's shoulder. "Let's leave those coats for people who can't afford these coats. I can afford one of these just fine." The very last thing Clark wanted to do was deprive another child of a coat just because Billy was worried about how much Clark was spending. He understood Billy's aversion to spending too much money. He did. He might not have ever been homeless, but when Clark was a kid, his parents had their share of financial worries. Asking for $200 for an extracurricular felt like far too much at times. It was hard to accept expensive gifts from his parents when they knew they were struggling to pay back loans at the same time. But Clark was not having financial worries. He made a decent salary and only had himself to support. Billy stood stock still for a solid few moments as a whole range of emotions flickered across his face. Finally, he settled on looking vaguely sick, even as he jerkily nodded and took a step back toward the coats. "Pick out your favorite," Clark prompted, choosing not to prod any further. Eventually, Billy did pick out a brown coat, one with a fleece underlayer and a waterproof exterior piece. It looked good. It looked warm, and Clark was happy that as the outside weather warmed up, the coat would become just a fleece jacket, or perhaps even be worn as a raincoat when those became necessary come spring. Clark took his pullover back when Billy handed it to him so he could try the coat on, and his heart clenched just a touch when he finally saw Billy dressed warmly again. He hadn't even noticed he was that bent up about it. "Let's get you some boots and such, too," Clark said with a nod. Billy, for his part, only slumped his shoulders in defeat as he followed Clark to the back of the store, as they stopped briefly at a display of hats and gloves. Clark looked the gloves over and picked the only set that were waterproof, and said, "How do you like these?" None of the other gloves would work well for playing in the snow. He wasn't sure if Billy played, but he wanted him to be able to. He was a kid. Kids played in the snow. "They're fine," Billy said, after he slipped his hand in one. "They're a little big." "Big is good," Clark said with a nod. Big meant Billy could grow into them. Clark made him pick out a hat, too, and finally they went back to the shop, where there was a small shoe section. They had two options for snow boots, apparently, and Clark was satisfied they'd last at least the winter after a quick look at them. "Which pair do you want?" he asked. But Billy turned an outraged look on Clark and said, $50, Mr. Kent?" "They're on sale," Clark offered. "Boots like these will easily run you over $100 normally. This is a steal." And he wasn't even lying. Snow boots could be expensive. And once Billy grew out of them, they could donate them to another child who needed them. Or Billy could give them to another child. It wasn't likely they'd go to waste. Billy's outrage was quickly replaced by dread, but once again Clark made him push through it. "What size do you wear?" he asked. 6, Billy whispered. "And do you like the gray one and red ones, or the black and blue ones better?" Looking a little helpless, Billy merely shrugged. "Okay, then why don't you try them both on and pick?" Billy pulled a face and asked, "Do I have to?" "Yes." So Billy sat down on the little bench near the shoes, looking absolutely defeated as he tried both pairs on. In the end, he picked out the gray and red boots and didn't object when Clark packed a bear, picked the warm-looking socks off the wall before heading to the register. Billy frowned the entire time they checked out, but Clark chose to ignore him in favor of gladly swiping his credit card for the purchase. Once it was all paid for, Clark ripped the tags off everything and pocketed them so he could get Billy more clothes later using the size information. Billy definitely needed more clothes than he owned, but it was very likely Clark had pushed him more than enough for one day. "It is a lot warmer," Billy commented once he had all his new stuff on, and Clark had the old stuff packed away in the shopping bag. "Warmer than my old coat." "Good, I'm glad," Clark said. It was also probably warmer because now he had a hat, gloves, and boots that he hadn't had before. "Come on, I know a good cafe nearby. I want a coffee." Outside, Billy skipped on ahead of Clark to inspect one of the many snowbanks on the sidewalks. While Clark had helped with a lot of snow removal, the city had still done quite a bit. Typically, Metropolis moves snow, not removed it, and there weren't many places to hold the amount of snow they'd received overnight. "These snowbanks are really tall," Billy remarked as he skipped on ahead to the next one at the other end of the block, once Clark had caught up to him. "You should see the snowbanks at the mall," Clark said, as he stopped to hit the pedestrian cross button at the intersection. "They've got to be 20 feet. Wow. The one next to the road was only about 8 feet tall, but Billy bounced over to it and started to climb up it, anchoring his gloved hands in it to keep his balance on the steep slope. With a grin, Billy looked down at Clark and said, "This is crazy," before he finished his climb to the top. Clark just watched, even though the light had changed and they now had a walk sign. He slipped his phone from his pocket and snapped a quick picture of Billy on the top of the bank, his back to the camera as he observed the city from his new vantage point. In a few taps, he shot it off to Bruce. He tried his best not to think about how Billy could only do this, could only be a curious kid playing in the snow, because he was warm. What were snow days usually like for Billy? How often had he struggled to keep warm, to keep alive? "He looks healthy," was Bruce's response, and Clark snorted. Because, of course, that would be Bruce's response. Bruce had been right. Billy needed far more help than he was willing to admit. Billy slid down the bank, landing right next to Clark with a huge grin on his face. "You know," Clark said, hitting the pedestrian crossing button once more since they'd missed the cycle, "in parts of the U.S., they have snowbanks this tall all winter long." "Really?" Billy asked, a hint of an honest voice. "That's so cool." He paused and contemplated the bank behind them for a moment before adding, "They must get in the way, though." The lights turned on once again, and this time Clark ushered Billy off the sidewalk and across the road with them. "For sure," he said. "I once wrote a story about the moose population in Michigan. In late winter, there was so much snow piled up in the Walmart parking lot, there was barely a parking lot left. Some of the side roads were much narrower than they should have been, too. No space for cars to pass each other, even though they were two-way roads." "That has to be a ton of fun to live in," Billy said, before he raced off to the next snowbank on the block. This one was even taller than the last. Halfway up the bank, Billy lost his footing and started to slip. In a blink, Clark was at the base of the bank, holding Billy steady with his hands on either side of Billy's waist. He gave him a moment to regain his footing, then let go. "Thanks, Mr. Kent," he said, a giant grin on his face when he climbed up further, all the way to the top. Clark just watched as Billy turned around and slid down, then repeated the entire process. Because despite everything, Billy was acting like a kid. Just like he deserved. Billy stuck around for 2 more days after the blizzard. They spent that time in peace, and as far as Clark had thought, it had been nice. They watched a movie together one night and went back out to the snow twice more, while Billy ran around like the kid he was. Clark had thought it was going well, and perhaps Billy would just stay. But wishful thinking, he supposed, because Billy flew back to Fawcett City to deal with a bank robbery on the third day, and never returned. Of course, Clark checked on him to make sure he was okay and had chosen not to return rather than being hurt and unable to. And sure enough, there Billy was, back in his cold apartment, curled up under his blanket with his coat still on. All Clark could do was sigh. At least Billy had warmer clothes, he supposed. Though, he thought as he looked at his abundance of spare blankets in his linen closet, he could have other warm things, too. That evening, Clark flew out to Fawcett City, a bag filled with a couple blankets and plenty of snacks. Billy's apartment was empty when he arrived, and a quick scan of the city showed Captain Marvel helping an old woman carry her groceries home. It tore at his heart how absolutely kind Billy was. A sweet kid like that did not deserve to live like this, he thought to himself as he set the bag down on his bed. With a sigh, Clark flew back to Metropolis to deal with his own city for the evening, resolving himself to work on it. Billy was going to be off the streets by the end of the year, even if Clark had to do it by force. Hours later, when Superman was about to head home for the night, his communicator buzzed with a message from Captain Marvel. "Thanks for the blankets and crackers," it said. "You're welcome back here any time," Clark replied. It was another 3 weeks of them back to their old patterns. Thanksgiving had passed, and despite Clark's very persistent invitations to Billy for Thanksgiving, the boy had remained in Fawcett City doing good deeds all day long. Clark made him up a plate of Ma's delicious cooking, anyway, and flew it out to him. Based on the clean plate that he found in his fire escape that evening, Clark assumed Billy ate it. But Clark was meeting Billy at their diner several times a week still, and he wanted to enjoy his time with Billy. He did. But all he could think about was how Billy shouldn't live like this. He didn't have to live like this. And this being him scarfing down his massive plate full of fries like he hadn't had any food since Clark last saw him 2 days ago. "Billy," Clark said as he set his coffee down. He'd only had a couple of bites of his Reuben sandwich so far, but Billy was nearly done. Once he had Billy's attention, Clark cleared his throat and said, "I don't like that you're living out here alone." "Ah, Mr. Kent," Billy said, smiling his disarming smile that must get him his way a lot. "I promise I'm really fine." "Are you, though?" he asked, shifting uncomfortably. "What did you eat for breakfast?" The kid was skinny, not dangerously so, and had Clark not known he was homeless, he might not even be concerned. But he did know, and he was concerned. Billy paused, hesitated. He stammered, "I don't usually eat breakfast." "Why not?" Billy didn't answer. His face was blank and he blinked once, staring almost through Clark. Like the turn in the conversation took him completely off guard and all he could do was shut down over it. "What did you eat for dinner last night?" Clark asked anyways. "Crackers," Billy said, a touch defiantly. "I had a pack of crackers." "Only crackers?" Clark asked. "And were they the crackers Clark had given him 2 weeks ago?" Billy clearly fumed, albeit silently. He clenched his teeth, then rolled his shoulders and sat back in his seat. "I was thinking," he said nonchalantly, "I could get a job." "You are 10, Clark said. Billy needed to attend school, not get a job to feed himself more than crackers. "Yeah, but sometimes I'm not." Not for the first time, Clark hated the wizard for imparting this curse on Billy. He was a magnificent hero, a kind soul with immeasurable compassion and empathy, but he was 10. He shouldn't have this power. He shouldn't have this ability to become an adult in the blink of an eye, and the ability to take on the responsibilities and burdens of adults. Billy Batson was a little boy. "You're still 10, and even when you're not," Clark said, "you shouldn't have to worry about that." He was 10. He should be a child. A carefree child with no burdens or responsibilities other than to do his homework and eat his vegetables. "Well," Billy said with a shrug, like he didn't even see the point. "Billy," Clark said in a firm tone. This needed to end. Billy had to come home with him. He was done dancing around this. If not to his home, then to someone's. Billy looked up, and just by the spark in his eye, Clark could tell Billy knew he was being serious. "My second room is yours," he said. "I know, Mr. Kent," Billy replied. "I promise I'll come if it gets cold again." Clark sighed. That was not what he meant. He opened his mouth to insist when something slammed into the road outside their diner. For the second time in so many months. Billy, of course, was out of the diner in a blink, and a couple seconds later a flash of lightning hit a nearby alley, and all Clark could do was sigh harder. He got up and paid the bill, handing cash straight to the waitress, who was sheltering behind the counter with several other patrons. Clark put his hat on and walked outside, content to just watch Billy work. Captain Marvel slammed into the car 10 feet to Clark's left, but Cap immediately flew right back at the villain, a giant robot of some sort, so Clark wasn't too concerned. He seemed to have it under control. Honestly, Captain Marvel was impressive. In his 2 short months of heroing, he'd already improved massively. The fight didn't last long. There was quite a bit of damage done, but that was sadly inevitable when a villain kept throwing Captain Marvel into everything. All Billy had to do was rip the robot's power supply right out of his back, and the whole thing came crashing down to the ground. The police quickly descended, and Captain Marvel handed over the power supply immediately, not lingering to do much more than say, "Thanks for the assistance, officer," before he zipped off. And didn't come back. Clark sighed then. Of course Billy took the opportunity to bolt. He should have seen it coming. Clark slipped away, out of sight of the cops, and spun into Superman. Billy could try to run from him, but Clark was not about to let it happen. Superman shot off, chasing down Captain Marvel as fast as he could. "Cap," he said, once he found Billy hovering over a building looking down at it. Clark had no clue. "What was that?" "I don't know," Captain Marvel said. "A robot of some sort. He said his name was Mr. Adam, but he didn't say anything else. I was trying to find where he came from." Clark looked around and wondered why this random building was where he was doing his research. Clark saw no evidence the robot had even come from this direction. "Can we finish our conversation first?" Clark asked. With the robot out of commission, it wasn't likely Dire Cap figured out his origin right that second. Mr. Cap started, but he quickly corrected himself. Superman, you really don't have to worry about me. You have the wisdom of Solomon, right? Clark asked as he floated closer so he and Cap could talk at a much softer level. He still wasn't used to how that worked, but he did know that as Captain Marvel, Billy had so much more insight than he did as Billy Batson. Yeah, Cap said slowly. Then tell me, is it wise for a 10-year-old to be living by himself? In a condemned building with no security at all? Not even working locks or windows? Somehow, Captain's massive frame seemed to shrink on itself, as he reluctantly admitted, no. And is it wise for said 10-year-old to live in said building without electricity through winter, when it routinely drops below zero? No, Captain committed again, averting his eyes away from Superman. He crossed his arms tightly across his chest as a deep frown settled on his face. And, Clark pressed on, if said 10-year-old was offered the spare room of one of his friends who just had his best interests in mind, no strings attached, is it wise of him to turn it down? Captain didn't respond that time. He kept his gaze off in the distance for several long seconds before sighing and slowly floating downwards. Clark followed and landed softly on the building just below them after Cap. Shazam, Cap whispered. Clark winced, still unused to that. Lightning, striking so near and so suddenly, even if it didn't feel like normal lightning. It didn't have the same buzzing of electricity all around it, the way natural lightning did when one was within so many hundred yards of the strike. Clark was 5 feet away, and the only thing he felt was the heat from the light. But I'm scared, Mr. Kent, Billy whispered in a heartbrokenly raw tone. Had Clark ever heard Billy sound so genuine? How often was Billy genuine with him? Clark knelt down to Billy's height and carefully set a hand on his right shoulder as he asked softly, "Of what? If you tell me, maybe I can help fix it. Or alleviate the fear. Or he didn't know. But whatever it was, Clark would fix it. He just wanted Billy to be safe. What if," Billy said, wrapping his arms back around himself as he looked off to the left, in the opposite direction of Clark, as if to completely block Clark out of his vision. "What if I get on your nerves?" "You won't," Clark said instantly, though he immediately knew it was a lie. Of course Billy would get on his nerves. Wasn't that what kids did? Why would that matter, though? It most certainly wouldn't make Clark kick Billy out. "But what if I do?" Billy exclaimed, snapping his attention back to Clark, searching his face with wide, frantic eyes. "I always get on adults' nerves." "It won't change anything," Clark soothed. "It will," Billy insisted. "You'll hate me. Adults always hate me. I can't..." "Billy," Clark tried, though he wasn't even sure what he was going to say. His heart was kind of ripping into a million little pieces, just watching Billy's facade crumble right in front of him. And listening to his raw, cracked voice whisper, "You're Superman." Adults always hated him, and Clark was an adult. Clark was Superman, one of Billy's idols. "Billy," Clark whispered again, resisting the absurd urge to pull Billy in for a tight hug. He had barely even high-fived. A hug was likely way overstepping. He squeezed Billy's shoulder as tightly as he dared, though, and said, "I'm not sure how I could possibly ever hate you. If you haven't noticed, I'm actually quite fond of you, kid." Billy didn't react other than to look away again, a frown settling on his face. And all Clark could do was sigh. "Look," he said, patting Billy's shoulder a couple times before he retracted his hand. "Can you at least give me a chance? If you don't like it there, then we can discuss finding you other arrangements." Because the only way Billy would be moving out of Clark's home before he was 18 was if Clark got on Billy's nerves too much. That didn't mean Billy would be returning to the street, however. "There are several people within the Justice League who would take you in a heartbeat," he added, once Billy finally looked back at him. While he hadn't even discussed it with anyone, or revealed to anyone but Bruce that Captain Marvel was a 10-year-old homeless child, he just knew several people would step in if asked. Several people who had taken children in already. Bruce had already threatened to do it himself. "Really?" Billy asked, looking almost dazed in awe. "Yes, and none of us want to see you living like this. You deserve to not have to worry about the basic necessities in life, like food and heat. That's all any kid deserved, Captain Marvel or not." "But a kid like Captain Marvel who spent his free time protecting a city? He extra deserved to not have to worry about where his next meal would come from." Please just give me a chance, Clark said, placing a hand back on Billy's shoulder. I promise you right now, I won't ever hate you, and you'll never outstay your welcome. You're just a kid. You deserve the chance to be one. Billy tightened his arms around himself and averted his eyes away once more. It took him a long minute, but finally, he slowly nodded and whispered, Okay. Okay? Yeah, Billy exhaled. He dropped his arms and stood up a little taller and asked, But can I finish looking into the robot first? I can't quit being Captain Marvel. Of course. Clark would never try to get in the way of Billy being Captain Marvel. He might be taking Billy in, but that didn't mean he was suddenly Captain Marvel's boss. That wasn't how a mentor relationship worked, anyway, if Batman and Robin were anything to go by. Let me know when you're ready and I'll help you gather up your stuff and move it. You've got your communicator, right? Billy pulled the comm out of his pants pocket and held it up, so Clark nodded. Great, I'll leave you to it then. Clark moved back and watched as Billy offered him a smile just before uttering, Shazam, and getting right back to work. While Billy busied himself with his case, Clark figured it was the perfect time to fly back home and prepare Billy's room for him. And maybe buy some more supplies. Billy was finally ready to move his stuff over that evening, long after dinner had come and gone. Clark hoped Billy ate, but he was trying not to pry too much. Just getting the kid out of the cold was a big enough step for one day. The robot was made up by a crazy old scientist who died, Billy blabbered at him, while Clark helped him put his meager possessions into the box Clark had brought. He died because he was old, but before he did, he told the robot to go get a woman to take care of him. How crazy is that? Why a woman? Clark asked as he placed Billy's small stack of books in the box. Billy was in his closet, folding up three identical sweatshirts he had hanging up. Clark was a little glad to know Billy had more than just the clothes on his back. Even if the spare clothes were identical to said clothes. I don't know, Billy said, skipping over to drop the sweatshirts in the box. To be his wife, I think. But he's a robot, so I don't know how that was going to work. Clark laughed and pushed himself to his feet. Anything else? In the box he had a pile of books, three sweatshirts, a couple blankets, a pillow, and a picture frame. It was depressing how little Billy had. He should have stepped in ages ago. That's it, Billy said, clasping his hands behind his back. He wore on his lips, and he looked around the room once more. I'm ready, I guess. With a nod, Clark said, Okay. Shall we fly? Billy transformed into Captain Marvel in the alley right beside his building, and together they flew to Metropolis, Clark carrying the box despite Billy's insistence he could get it. Once they landed in Metropolis, Billy transformed back into himself right on the roof of Clark's building. You might have to vary where you do that, Clark said, before he pushed open the stairwell door down to his floor. Yeah, Billy agreed. I never do it in the same spot in Fawcett City. Which meant Billy would have to walk around Metropolis quite a bit as Billy, and Clark wasn't sure how big of a fan he was of that. Metropolis wasn't exactly the safest city in the country. But he couldn't exactly tell Billy not to walk around on his own either, now, could he? Obviously, Billy was capable of defending himself. Babying him and setting strict limits on him would likely just push him away. The last thing Clark wanted was Billy running away to the streets again. You know, Clark tried as they descended the stairs to his floor, if you're ever in trouble, you can shout for me, right? Billy looked up at him and gave him a quizzical look. I have Captain Marvel, he said. I know. I was thinking about how it would be dangerous walking around at night alone as Billy, and that you might not be able to change back if you were in danger. So, if you're ever in danger and Captain Marvel can't help you, I can. With a slow nod, Billy said, Thanks, Mr. Kent. I'll keep that in mind. Would he? Was all Clark could wonder as they landed on his floor and he pulled his keys out to unlock his door, Billy's box of things easily balanced in one arm. Maybe he wouldn't be able to convince Billy to ask for help, but he could change something. It's Clark, son, he said, turning the second deadbolt on his door. If you're going to be living here, you should call me Clark. Mr. Kent makes me feel way too old. Clark wasn't entirely sure what reaction he was expecting, but Billy laughing was not it. What? He asked. With a wide grin, Billy said, You are old. I'm 26, he shot back. I am not old. He was actually quite young and got crap for it sometimes. Billy apparently completely disagreed because his grin turned more mischievous. What a brat, Clark thought to himself fondly. He shook his head and smiled as he pushed the door open and brought Billy's box inside his new room. He set the box down on the dresser and looked around the room. "I already got you some basics," he said, taking in the very bland look of the room. "There's a few more outfits in the drawers and a pair of shoes in the closet." He tipped his head toward the closet where there was also a few more sweatshirts hanging up, too. "Tomorrow we can go shopping for anything else you need. Like, maybe toys or something. Decorations? Anything to make the guest room look more like a kid's room." "Mr.," Billy started, but paused. "Clark, you don't have to get me stuff." "I absolutely do," Clark said back. "It's fine, Billy. Don't worry about it. I can afford it, and you need stuff. I want you to have stuff, okay?" He'd start easy so not to overwhelm him, but Clark was buying him at least one toy, and some clothes and bedding he liked. It was about time Clark had the things every little boy deserved. Billy looked around for a long moment, but eventually he nodded, seeming to relax just a touch. Maybe it was going to work after all. "Welcome home, Billy," Clark said, placing a hand on his shoulder and squeezing. Whatever Clark had to do to make Billy comfortable, he would do it. For the moment, however, he could simply relish in the fact that Billy was there. He was there, and he was safe. Shyly, Billy offered Clark a smile and said, "Thanks, Clark."